Hey guys, it's Mark. Welcome to Shortcasts. If this is your first time joining us, then welcome to the show. If you've listened before, then welcome back. This podcast is one where we talk about series shortcuts, or sometimes we just refer to them as shortcuts. If you have a question for us, you can send us a message on Anchor, a DM on Twitter, a message on our Discord server, or in our category on the Shortcuts Discord server, and we'll get to it in one of the upcoming episodes. We just started our new sponsorship program through Anchor recently, so if you enjoy the show and you want to help us to keep this going, then head on over to our link. I'll put it in the show notes, anchor.fm/shortcasts/support. We really appreciate any feedback that you guys can give us about the show, and we'll take that into consideration for the future of the show. If you have something that you're extra curious about, we can have you join us on a future episode, and we could run through some live discussion and walkthroughs. If you haven't heard, we have an iMessage sticker pack available. I'll put a link to it in the show notes, or you can go search for it in the iMessage App Store. Today we are covering the app that most of you probably heard of before called Toolbox Pro, or TBP, as you'll see it mentioned online in a few places. Alex, we're happy to have you on the show today. It's great to have you here, and I know a lot of the users are excited to have you as well.
I'm excited to be on. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's been kind of tricky with everything going on in the world right now to get our times aligned, but it's nice to get you here because I know there's a lot of people that have been asking for us to get you on the show because they want to kind of put a voice to your name and also just hear what you have to say and some of your opinions about shortcuts and how the app is going.
Right. Oh God, no pressure. Okay.
So one of my first questions I have is what kind of got you started in shortcuts and maybe in iOS in general?
I think I was never sort of a user of Workflow when it first came out before it was bought by Apple and became Shortcuts. But I think once it was bought by Apple, I sort of started looking into it a bit more. You start seeing sort of people posting these really cool automations, you know, on Reddit and all this kind of stuff. And I think I was just sort of interested whether you could sort of push the boundaries of iOS automation, because it's always been quite a sort of lockdown platform, hasn't it? And obviously you could do anything you wanted basically on the Mac, but it seemed like Workflow was really the sort of first attempt to really explore different types of automation on iOS. So when they were sort of bought by Apple, it was obviously a sign that Apple were interested in sort of opening that up to people, I guess, in the same way that they have done with Automator on the Mac. And sort of automation's always been quite interesting to me. So I was just excited to explore what could be done, I suppose.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting concept. Like you were saying, Apple normally has everything locked down, but with shortcuts and with Workflow, even when it was just out, it had a lot more opportunities to reach into the system than anything typically had before. It was interesting for me to see that, and I didn't even learn about Workflow until actually starting this podcast, to be honest. But it's wild how they actually had that opened up, and now with shortcuts it has even more ties into the system than what Workflow ever did.
Yeah, I mean, I remember watching, there was a video when Workflow before it was released, I think the sort of team showed off what it could do. And I think it was like a video of them automatically sending a photo in a text message or something like that in Messages. And everyone sort of thought the video was fake because it was just like no one had ever seen that on iOS before. And I suppose like they must have been terrified releasing it that it would just get shut down by Apple straight away. So it's sort of an amazing turn of events that they ended up being incorporated into Apple.
Yeah, I found that to be very interesting when I started to learn a bit more about the history behind shortcuts and how everything started, because there are still some shortcuts that are trickling around that have some of the workflow text included in them, and there's still a lot of the background information from workflow inside of the shortcuts that even get generated today. It's quite odd, but it makes sense just based on the way that the programming probably works on the back end. So Toolbox Pro obviously has a ton of actions in it, but where was it, I guess, that you saw the need for Toolbox Pro, or what kind of kicked off your idea to get started on developing?
So I guess the more I sort of used shortcuts and the sort of more complex shortcuts I was building, you sort of keep running into the limitations as you sort of push against those boundaries. And I guess I always had in the back of my mind different actions that I wish shortcuts could do that it couldn't, or different data that's stored on your phone that it can't access. And I sort of always had these ideas of tools or actions that I wish shortcuts had natively. And then obviously last year when iOS 13 came out, and Apple at WWDC, the Worldwide Developers Conference, they sort of announced all the sort of changes they'd be adding to shortcuts with the parameters. So it opens, a whole new host of abilities for developers to create their own actions. It was suddenly sort of an opportunity to sort of bring those ideas to life, I guess. And I didn't have any programming experience at all. I'd never sort of built any apps, and hadn't learned Swift or anything like that. But at the same conference, they also announced a new way of building apps called Swift UI, which is sort of quite a visual way of developing, I suppose. So that sort of really intrigued me, and I think that the combination of both of those just really convinced me that I should sort of give it a go and try and build something. And it sort of just got stuck in, I suppose, straight away with all the betas that they released. And I think within probably 2 or 3 weeks, I had a sort of very basic skeleton of an app that had like one or two tools in, and I thought, oh, that's got some sort of legs to it. It feels like there's potential that I could just keep adding tools and keep adding more functionality to shortcuts and just extending the power of it and what it can do. So that's sort of where I am now, I think.
That's interesting. So you kind of started out slow, which I assume every app development starts that way, unless you've developed multiple apps before or you kind of have a in-depth knowledge of exactly what you need to do and what has to be done to get there. But that's quite interesting to me that you hadn't really developed any other apps before and had only really done shortcuts development work before that, right? So that's very cool. It kind of, I guess, is good because for me and for the listeners who have maybe not developed an app before and are thinking about doing it, it kind of gives a inspiration or some hopeful idea that anybody could really create an app. But I definitely know that what you've created has helped a lot of users in the community, and it's inspiring to know that you started that without really having an in-depth knowledge of how Swift kind of works. And the Swift UI also helped a lot, which I've heard of Swift UI now, but I haven't really looked into it a whole lot yet or even seen what it looks like. But it sounds interesting.
Yeah, I think Apple are sort of putting a lot of work into democratize their technologies to make them more accessible to people without having to code. And there's all sorts of rumors that they're going to be releasing a new version of Xcode on the iPad and this kind of stuff. And I think that's only, and shortcuts as well, all this stuff just enables people and empowers people to do more with the technology that they have, with their phones, with their laptops, with their iPads. And if you can build tools that help you and can help others, then I think that's only going to get easier and easier as Apple builds all those tools.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And as mobile devices like iPads and iPhones keep getting faster and more common with everybody carrying them around almost everywhere, it makes it nice to be able to have the ability to create content on those devices instead of having the requirement of a computer, which I think Xcode, you were saying it's going to be coming on the iPad at some point in the near future.
I mean, they haven't announced it, but I think there's lots of expectations in the sort of development community that it could be on the horizon. I think there's rumors that I mean the new iPad Pros are sort of so capable and have so much sort of processing power. I think the expectation is that those sort of pro apps will eventually come to the iPad Pros, and it would just be interesting because, you know, Xcode is a really complicated bit of technology. It's a really sort of complex app, and it's got quite a steep learning curve to it. But once you sort of get the hang of it, and sort of start understanding what you're doing, it's you know, amazingly powerful. But it'd be really interesting to see how they sort of can translate that paradigm onto the iPad, which is obviously a much, much sort of simpler interface and smaller screens and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And it is a quite complex app to use, even on a Mac screen or on my external monitor that I have. I've played around in Xcode a little bit with some of the tutorials, and it is, like you were saying, it can be a bit confusing at first, but once you start diving into some of the various menus and things, it starts to make a bit more sense.
Yeah, I should mention actually, because recently I've had a few people who are sort of interested in how I got started and how to add sort of shortcuts actions to apps. So I actually wrote a couple of tutorials on the Toolbox Pro website, which is toolboxpro.app. There's a sort of blog section, and there's a couple of articles that basically take you from starting a new Xcode project to adding an action into shortcuts. So it's just to sort of give you an idea of, you know, how many steps you need to just go through just to sort of create that bare bones app. So if anyone's sort of interested in creating their own sort of Toolbox Pro style app, that's a pretty good place to start, I think.
Well, great. And I'll make sure to put a link to that in our show notes as well so that the listeners can get to it easily. That's good that you put some tutorials together for that, because I know there's a lot of people that are curious about that. And that's interesting to me that some people have already reached out to you to kind of figure out how to get some of those actions incorporated and get their apps started.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it seems like a bit of a new ecosystem developing, I think, when you see, you know, Datajar and Charty, and there's a new one called Gizmo mm-hmm. Pack or something, I think it's called. But it feels like there's sort of interest in creating these tools for shortcuts that sort of give them powers that it didn't have before. So yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that develops, because I think there's going to be lots more coming.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I just talked with Rodrigo actually, and he was very grateful for some of the advice and things that you had spoken to him about when he was working on getting Charty put together. I agree. It's a great thing to see these apps like Toolbox Pro and the others that you've mentioned, because it does give extra power to the shortcuts community to create things that were not possible with the standard actions. And it's an interesting thing as well for me, because there's quite a few questions that pop up where people want to do certain actions, or they have an idea in their head of something that maybe they can do in shortcuts, but then they find out that there's this huge limitation, and then in comes a companion app or a new action that gets added in Toolbox Pro, for example, and now all of a sudden they can do exactly what they were trying to do before. So it's really great to see that, where these actions can come out of an app and then be integrated into shortcuts, where they can, in theory, be proliferated into however many shortcuts may end up getting created with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a sort of big source for me in terms of inspiration for building new tools. When I see people posting online, how do you do this in shortcuts, or can you do this? If the answer is currently no, then that usually gets added to my list of things to sort of explore whether I can implement that and allow that to happen. So that's certainly where sort of a lot of the inspiration for my tools have definitely come from, just people hitting those sort of limitations within shortcuts at the moment.
Yeah, I can imagine that would spark some ideas. And I know I've seen some of the things that people are posting for feedback and various ideas on your Discord server as well. So I know you've got tons of things coming at you for various requests and updates that people are looking for, right?
Yeah, definitely.
One of my next ones that I was curious about is some of your favorite features that you have. I know there's a lot of different actions inside of Toolbox Pro, and there's a select number that are free, and then the paid version unlocks the rest of them, right?
Yeah, that's right. So I think it's free to download, and I think there's I'm losing track slightly, but I think there's about 113 new actions that it adds to shortcuts. And I think 22 of those are free. Some of the most powerful ones are free. Just pay a one-time purchase and it unlocks all of them. But yeah, like some of the free ones that are worth mentioning are global variables, which is a pretty cool feature that lets you persist data between different shortcuts or between the same shortcut when it runs multiple times. So it works the same way as the sort of variables do within shortcuts. And variables in shortcuts just store data during the shortcut as it runs, but they don't store data between runs. So if you wanted to, for example, make a record of every time you sort of logged in and out of your workplace, for example, your sort of location or time, you could use a global variable action to sort of store that with Toolbox Pro, and then the next time you ran it, you could access that same data. So it's sort of a much easier way than having to write that data to a text file or something, which can be quite finicky in shortcuts. And then there's an action called preview, which was sort of my original idea for it was to try and extend the quick look action in shortcuts and provide a sort of different user interface so that you could see text and photos at the same time, for example, which is something you can't do in shortcuts. So that's a sort of a way of showing data with Toolbox Pro. And you can also make it interactive, so you can add your own buttons to it. You can add like an embedded map, for example, which gets you quite close to sort of creating a bit more of a like app-like experience with your shortcuts, which is something that I'm gonna sort of keep continuing to explore and build, I think. But yeah, there's a huge amount of tools in there.
Yeah, it's almost overwhelming when you first download the app and start looking at the various actions that you can add. But it is great to see all of those in there because it does open up a lot of options. And it is great too that, like you were saying, with the preview action where you can create more of a type of app-like interface for the users of the shortcut, and it helps the creator to be able to do that. Because otherwise, you get a somewhat nice looking interface, but when you start getting into using this preview action, like you were saying, it just makes things look a little bit more like what you would expect to see in an app versus just a shortcut that is more or less just speeding up some normal actions. So the way it looks isn't so important. But some of the things that are getting generated nowadays inside of shortcuts, people want them to look nice because they're doing things like generating playlists or reorganizing photos and things like this.
Yeah, I mean, they're just getting more and more capable as people, I guess, get better at using shortcuts and as the sort of actions in shortcuts become more and more powerful. And hopefully that sort of to and fro will continue between sort of Apple and developers, and it will just keep getting better and better.
Yeah, definitely. So, do you have any future update plans that you've got in the works right now for Toolbox Pro, or are you just kind of slowly integrating things and working on smaller updates right now, or maybe you have some bigger update that's coming at some point?
Yeah, I mean, since it came out in November, I've been sort of gradually sort of adding tools as I sort of build them. So I think I started off when I released the app, and there are about 50 tools in there in total. So there's more than double what there originally were. But I'm just on the cusp of releasing my sort of biggest update yet, I guess. I'm sort of beta testing it at the moment, but I've completely redesigned the app from scratch, and I've written all new sort of documentation, because I think, as you said, it can be quite overwhelming. So I just wanted to sort of simplify it and streamline it and make it more approachable, and sort of group all the tools by category and all this sort of stuff. So that's sort of one aspect of the update. And another is there are some really cool new tools that I'm going to be releasing, which allow you to sort of bookmark files and folders, so that you can access them in automations outside of the shortcut sandbox. So whereas in shortcuts at the moment, if you use a save file action, for example, you can only save the file into the shortcuts iCloud folder, which is quite limiting. You know, if you're creating sort of workflows for work or whatever, you don't want to have to sort of manually move files around. So these new actions, bookmark folders and bookmark files, will allow you to, for example, bookmark your desktop or your downloads folder, and then you can automatically save files or access files in those locations. So I think that's going to be something that a lot of people will want to use. I think you can currently do it with Scriptable if you know JavaScript, but obviously for people who sort of aren't interested in coding or can't code, it should open that up to a lot more people.
Wow, yeah, that will be a huge step, because I know there's a lot of people that really would like to be able to save files or even access files automatically inside of a shortcut, but they don't want those files to be stored in the shortcuts folder, because like you said, maybe they already have a folder structure set up and they don't want to have to move everything into the shortcuts folder. And it also just adds length to the file path, and it just makes it a little bit more cumbersome, especially if they're trying to share that folder with somebody else. They want to be able to just have the shortcut do the moving for them. Like you were saying, manually moving the files or moving that folder of files to another location isn't exactly the most ideal situation.
No, and it lets you do other stuff as well. So if you're saving a file to your desktop automatically, in that sort of save action, you can also choose to apply file tags, for example, which is something that shortcuts can't do at all at the moment. So it's little things like that that I think really can make your automations more powerful.
Yeah, I definitely agree. That'll be a huge addition. I can see why that's one of the things that you're planning in this upcoming update.
Yeah, but as soon as you're accessing files and all this sort of stuff, you need to make sure it's as bug-free as possible. So I'm sort of just taking my time and and making sure it's right before I release it. So I'm sort of keep plugging away at it.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do, especially when it's an app level item and you have to go through the app review process with Apple, right, before it will actually push the update.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're pretty quick now, and I haven't had too much trouble with it, touch wood. I remember when I was sort of first releasing the app, I was terrified that it just wouldn't be approved at all, because I think it's quite unusual to have an app where most of the functionality isn't in the app itself, it's sort of within shortcuts. So yeah, I was really nervous that it wouldn't go through, but thankfully they didn't frown on it too much.
I can imagine that's probably a little nerve-wracking when you're first ready to push this app out and then you're just waiting on Apple to review it and make sure that it's okay, and you don't know whether or not they're going to approve it. In terms of how a lot of those back-end items work, let's say like global variable, for example, you're just tying into shortcuts and then it's more or less a data storage of that variable item then, right?
Yeah, so for global variables, I'm actually using iCloud Keychain to store those variables. So each app can have its own private keychain that's synchronized between your devices using iCloud if you're signed into the same account. And those variables are sort of encrypted on your device and then unencrypted on your next device, which makes it sort of a really sort of secure and easy way of syncing that text without you having to worry about it, really. And obviously, like DataJar now is doing a sort of very similar thing, but allowing you to store, you know, files and different data structures. So I think, you know, between them, it covers a lot of sort of different functionality now.
One of the interesting parts that I've really been looking at on some of these companion apps, seeing the different functionality that they add to shortcuts. And while looking at them, I often wonder what's going on behind the scenes to make all this stuff work. It's kind of interesting for me because coding was never really something that I thought that I would end up doing when I was younger. But then as things started progressing for me with work and now getting into shortcuts, it's something that it seems like the future of a lot of people's jobs and schooling all ends up revolving around coding of some sort, whether it's an app for let's say, shortcuts like your Toolbox Pro, or they're developing something to help them become more efficient in school or work, or maybe they're going to code a game. It is interesting how many things all revolve around some type of coding nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, it's such an important skill for kids to learn now, I think, isn't it? And actually, for me, doing Toolbox Pro as my sort of first app, it's been a really fantastic way to sort of learn coding, because what I've sort of done is all the tools sort of relate to different parts of the Apple ecosystem. So I've sort of had to learn different frameworks and APIs for each tool that I sort of wanted to implement. So for example, if I've got one that marks reminders as complete, I sort of have to learn how all the sort of reminders API works. And if I'm working with files, or if I'm working with the keychain, or, you know, any of that stuff, I sort of have to learn each bit as I go. So it's been a really sort of fantastic way to learn about it, I guess.
Yeah, that's got to be interesting, trying to integrate with the various different apps that are within iOS. And then, are you tying into any external services right now? I know most of them are all just expanding on the abilities within iOS itself.
Right? Yeah, so most of them, I think there's only a few that access external APIs. I think one of those is get links to songs or albums, which lets you sort of get links. So if you had like a link to a song on Apple Music, you could feed that link into the action and it will spit out the same song in YouTube or Spotify or Deezer and all that sort of stuff. There's also one to convert currencies that sort of has to access an API so it can update the currencies. And there's also find movies and find games. So they just hook into a sort of third-party API, but allow you to sort of search for movies within shortcuts and get sort of a rich detail like thumbnails and release date and budget and all that sort of stuff. So you can build some sort of quite interesting shortcuts that relate to movies or games.
That's interesting. Yeah, I know there's a lot of different APIs available out there, and some of them are long-lasting and others seem to fall off the net, but it's probably not the case that's going to happen with the ones that you've tied into, because a lot of the ones that you mentioned are all established and not going anywhere anytime soon. But the extra features, like what you were mentioning, being able to grab movie titles or song titles or song links even, is definitely a big help, because there's a lot of extra work that has to go in to try and do some of that stuff manually.
Yeah, I mean, that's all stuff you could do in shortcuts. You know, you could access that API and you could pass the JSON dictionary containing all that information. But really, a lot of the tools that I've built are sort of aiming to just sort of simplify all of that. So rather than spending, you know, 100 actions to try and build that into your shortcut, if you can just do that with one or two actions, then that's allows you to make more complex shortcuts more easily that are more powerful.
Yeah, definitely. And that's a huge thing for a lot of people, because if you're trying to create something that needs to go access this API, and then you have to try and figure out which keys you need to get access to grab their values, and then process that. And then maybe it's a lot of nested dictionaries inside of the API. It can get messy very quick. And if you can replace all that with one or two, or maybe even five actions, instead of having hundreds, like you were saying, it's a huge saver just in the number of actions and also the time that needs to be invested to create that.
Yeah, definitely.
So in terms of other projects maybe that you're working on, do you have any, I'm guessing Toolbox Pro consumes a lot of your time just on its own, but are you currently working on any other apps or maybe any major shortcuts that have been kind of a side project?
Yeah, I am. I've got another sort of app in the works, actually. It's not being beta tested or anything. It's still very, very early. And I'm obviously trying to get this big Toolbox Pro update out before I sort of do any more work on it. And it doesn't have a name or anything yet, but it's based, actually, the preview tool that we were talking about in terms of creating a sort of a nice native interface front end for shortcuts. It's sort of based around that idea, but sort of taking it to a whole new level, hopefully. So that's something I've got sort of earmarked for later in the year, hopefully, if it comes together.
That sounds fantastic. So that basically further will expand on the preview tool. And would the idea then be that you would launch a shortcut from within that app?
So the idea, I mean, it's also very early days, but the idea is that you could create pages that all sort of link to each other. So you could have navigation between pages that you create from within shortcuts, and they could be, you know, rich pages that contain images or, you know, carousels of images or slideshows or data that's sort of updating from the internet. It's all quite vague at the moment, but I'll be able to sort of announce more of that as I build it.
Yeah, definitely. And it sounds like you've got an idea started and maybe need to keep working with it to get it to where you want it to be. But that's the big battle, I think, is getting the idea going. And then once you get coding with it, it's probably a big time consume from there, just getting the code to work as you want it to. But it sounds like you've got a great idea started, and I'm really excited to see that develop into the app that it will be and to see how people end up using it, because it sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I think it'll be really cool. As soon as I've got a, you know, a basic sort of prototype working, I'll probably get people beta testing it and get sort of feedback on it very early on, so that people can sort of drive the development of it and suggest features and all that sort of stuff, which is the sort of same way that I built Toolbox Pro. So I'll be shouting about it when it's ready to be at that stage.
Yeah, that'll be nice. I don't know if this is something that you've announced before or not, but is there a beta test sign up or anything like that for Toolbox Pro at the moment, and then maybe for this future app that you'll be releasing? Or do you kind of have more of a closed beta test where you have a select number of users that end up testing?
Yeah, I've done it sort of in different ways. I sort of open and close betas as I need them. So I've opened one up for this big release that I'm doing with all the file bookmarks and the redesign. That one is full at the moment, but when I do release betas, I usually post them on my Twitter. So if you follow Toolbox Pro app on Twitter, then I usually sort of announce them there.
Oh, okay. What device do you use the most for a lot of your app beta testing, or even earlier than beta testing, I guess? When you started Toolbox Pro, I'm sure that you were doing some initial tests on your own, and then you've got some other shortcut work that you do as well. So what kind of devices are you using? Do you have an iPad, or do you do most of this on your iPhone?
I've always mostly used my iPhone. I only bought an iPad probably like 3 months ago. I could finally sort of justify it because of Toolbox Pro. I sort of made the excuse that I need to test the app on it more. So I've finally pulled the trigger and bought one. And that's obviously much easier for building shortcuts, because you've got this sort of split pane windows and all that sort of stuff. But mostly I use my iPhone. I've got like a iPhone 11 Pro, and that's, you know, that does everything I need it to, really.
Oh, yeah, perfect. Yeah, the 11 Pro is a great device. I've got the 10R, and it was a big upgrade for me because I had the iPhone 7 before. So it was a huge screen real estate change for me that took a little adjusting, but it was nice. Yeah, that screen size change on its own was very nice, and battery life as well.
Yeah, they're great devices, aren't they?
Yeah. I know you mentioned your Twitter, and I know about your Discord, but do you have really a preferred method of contact, whether it's Reddit, Discord, Twitter, or is there maybe some other service that you also use for support? I know it can be kind of troublesome on your end to think about all the different contact methods that people might want to use to get in touch. So I didn't know if you had one that was maybe more preferred over another.
No, I mean, I use probably Twitter and Reddit the most. There is a sort of Toolbox Pro subreddit, and I obviously post on the shortcut subreddit as well. But I sort of opened up the fire hose, I suppose. So people can contact me on Twitter or Reddit or Discord, or, you know, send an email off the Toolbox Pro website. And if it's, you know, feedback or suggestions for tools, then they will go into my notes for sort of future updates. So I'm happy to sort of receive feedback anywhere, really.
Yeah, that's good to kind of keep it open like that because it allows users to get in touch on their familiar platform. And if they're already familiar with it, then they're more than likely gonna stick around there and wait for a response. Or when they do get a response, then they can respond back to you. One of the pains that I've had to deal with on a few different projects, maybe that aren't even shortcuts related, but if someone reaches out that they have an issue and then you reach back out to them and then you don't get a response back, it kind of leaves you wondering if there's an issue somewhere in your product and you're trying to figure out where the problem is and you can't reach the person that reported it.
Yeah,
It makes it
that
difficult.
must be really tricky to deal with. Frustrating.
Yeah, it's good that you keep your communication paths open as much as they can be. Alex, what kind of background do you have? I know that you now have some coding experience from creating Toolbox Pro and also doing your shortcuts work, but there's obviously something else in life that you've been doing and you have a career going. So I'm curious what kind of background you have that maybe led into some of this coding and shortcuts work that may or may not have just been a hobby like it
Yeah,
is
I
for
mean,
some
Toolbox
people.
Pro is definitely a hobby. It's something I do in my spare time, but professionally, I'm a documentary editor. So that's what pays the bills, and that's what I spend, most of my hours every day doing. So I work in London, and I guess for the last 10 odd years, I've been cutting documentaries for British television mostly, fairly unrelated to
That's
development,
interesting.
but it's. It's quite nice to do something as a hobby that's quite different from your job, I think.
It kind of expands your thought process, I think, in both worlds. In your hobby, maybe your normal life can bring some ideas there, and then your hobby can bring ideas into your normal life as well. That's interesting. So, have you found any shortcuts ties into your documentary editing or any of that sort of stuff that you use for
I
work?
guess less so in the actual editing side of it, because obviously that's all on PCs or Macs. But what I have used it for a lot with my work professionally is like organization and finance and all that sort of stuff. So I've got like a really useful shortcut that I use all the time that checks my diary, it checks my sort of work calendar for what jobs I've got booked when. I can either choose to see all the free time or when I'm booked on jobs. So anytime I get an email from someone saying, "Oh, are you free this week or that week to do this work?" I can sort of run that shortcut and just quickly see all my sort of availability and just copy and paste that straight into an email. And that saves me so much time. It sort of brings me a lot of joy every time I use that because it used to take me ages to sort of go through my calendar and work out when all my free time was. So I use that a lot, and I also sort of in invoicing and all that sort of stuff. That's so useful to sort of build shortcuts for and automate that away as much as possible.
Yeah, that's one of the tricky parts I know that a lot of people have when they hear about shortcuts or if I bring it up to them. And sometimes I get looks and they wonder, oh, what am I going to use that for? Or why is this app on my phone? I didn't even know what it was other than it looks like a goofy looking S and a pretty icon on my phone. I don't know what it does. I just deleted it at some point. And then they find out that it actually has a lot of powerful features in it, but organization is one of the huge ones. And I know I've seen a couple shortcuts where you can do exactly what you were saying and it'll grab your free time. And it can then, like shortcuts can, it has a number of different things you can do, whether you want to send that out to somebody or just save it somewhere and then paste it somewhere else, like into an email or something, maybe. So that's good that you're able to use that and help yourself out with it. It's one of the nice parts that I like about
Yeah, definitely.
shortcuts.
It's one of those apps that's quite difficult to explain to people, as you say, because it's such a different thing for different people, isn't it? And I think anyone who's got something repetitive in their sort of daily life or work that you can sort of automate easily is immediately sort of understands the utility in shortcuts and how much time it can save you.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It is a big time saver, but only if you're really thinking about the types of repetitive tasks that you're doing on your device, and then thinking how those can be automated or somehow happen faster, because there's a lot of things that people do, like copying and pasting certain things, or maybe like you were saying about saving things in iCloud and then retrieving them again. It can be time consuming to build those actions into a shortcut. So it's helpful with anything if you can speed it up, of course, because then it gives you time to do other stuff.
That's what we all want, isn't it? More time.
Yes, of course. I always wish that I could invent a time machine so I could be able to do more things in the amount of time.
Maybe in the next version of Shortcuts.
Yeah, that would be quite nice. So in your opinion, I guess, what do you think about the future of Shortcuts? Obviously, you would want it to stick around through iOS 14 and 15 or whatever they might change the name to in the future because of Toolbox Pro and this other app that you have coming. But are you thinking that they're going to maybe open up some of the other options within iOS in the future? Or what kind of thoughts do you have about where Shortcuts is headed?
I think it's really exciting to see what the future of Shortcuts is going to be. Obviously, there's this sort of burgeoning ecosystem developing. And also, I'm just interested to see where Apple are going to take Shortcuts next. I'm hopeful that Shortcuts might eventually make it to the Mac. You know, Automator has been on the Mac for a long time, but I think it's pretty long in the tooth now. And I think if you could have Shortcuts on the Mac doing all the same stuff it can do on iOS, but even more powerfully, with more options and perhaps, you know, tying in Apple scripts and all that sort of stuff, then that could be really exciting and a whole new dimension for Shortcuts, really. So, I mean, that's what I'm hoping to see, really. I don't know. I'm looking forward to WWDC. It's not far away now. See what else they have coming out.
Yeah, it's getting closer and closer. And it's interesting that I think it said this year was the only, well, I guess it's the first year that they'll ever be holding it only in a virtual way.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that happens. I mean, part of me is like, if you had tickets for WWDC, that must be really gutting that you can't go out there and, you know, do all the sort of workshops and all that sort of stuff. But as a new developer, I'm also quite happy because I wouldn't be going anyway. And now hopefully they'll sort of bring a lot of that stuff online. So it might end up being better for everyone potentially, and maybe it's a format that they'll stick to.
Yeah, I didn't really think about that until you just mentioned it, but that's quite strange to think about, because the developers that are in maybe another country or in an area where it's not feasible really to make it to WWDC, I never thought about it before, but how do they attend WWDC, or do they only just get to watch it? And like you said, you miss out on a lot of the workshops and things that maybe are going on there. It'll be nice, I guess, if they keep that format of online, or how they're going to end up doing it. Hopefully they continue with the various different items that they normally would do in person.
Yeah, it's all a bit of an unknown, and I'm sure they're scrambling behind the scenes, you know, work out new ways of doing it. But knowing Apple, they'll have something pretty great coming out of the other end.
Yeah, I would expect so. They usually always come up with something that will surprise everybody that is planning to attend, and it will definitely be eye-opening. I'm ready for it to get here, because I'm excited to see what the future holds, just in terms of iOS 14 on its own, but also for Shortcuts and everything else that they usually announce at WWDC. Okay, well, Alex, I think we're close to the end of our time here, but I do want to ask you if you have any other points that you'd like to mention before we go. And I also want to say thank you very much for everything that you've done in getting Toolbox Pro put together and all the stuff that you do for the community. And also a huge thank you for joining me on the episode today so we could get this recorded. And
oh, not at all. Thank you so much for having me on. No, it's been great. And the only thing I'd say is that if anyone has any sort of ideas of tools that they want to see or things that they wish Shortcuts could do that it currently can't, do let me know, because we might be able to help build something that might fill that functionality.
Yeah, that definitely sounds great. And I'll put those links, like I said, to your contact info in the show notes. And we'll make sure that we get everybody in touch with you if they've got some ideas. And hopefully your inbox doesn't get
Yeah,
flooded.
one at a time.
All right, guys, that's it for our episode with Alex Hay. Let us know what your feedback was on the episode content, and also make sure to check out Alex's app and any of his shortcuts that he's been doing any work on. As he mentioned, he's got an exciting new app that's going to be coming at some point, and also a big update in the Toolbox Pro app. So watch out for those, and watch out for any news coming from us and episodes as well. You guys have a great one, and we'll talk to you soon.